City Current. Produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or tune in to Radio Access 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to a Mandan edition of City Current. It's Wednesday, May 22nd. We're here in the studios at Dakota Media Access. I'm here, Mary Van Sickle, along with Jim Neubauer from
Good morning, Mary.
Of Mandan.
Nice rainy morning we're having. Somebody asked if spring had arrived, and I said, I'm sure it will one of these days.
But rain is good.
Moisture is good, so we're happy to have it.
That's right. But unfortunately, last weekend, it was put a damper on a big event in downtown Mandan, and it was unfortunate, but Touch a Truck was canceled.
A lot of cold weather and a lot of rain coming down, and figured we'll, you know, we'll punt, and Mandan Progress Organization and the sponsors will be come back next year in full force.
I think there was probably a lot of disappointed children and their parents.
Yep. or fortunately, all of those prizes for the kids will remain, and maybe we'll have more to give folks out next year.
And Del Wetch was at your, from the MPO, was at your commission meeting last night and said they had a lot of requests for rescheduling, and unfortunately, it's just not possible. There's too many players in this. And
a lot of events going on downtown, and like I said, from Art in the Park to the 4th of July, to Grill Fest and Oktoberfest.
It's not really a lot of weekends available.
Tough to squeeze things in.
Yeah, and to get all those,
something goes haywire,
those trucks coordinated to come back in. So unfortunately, it'll be 1 year before.
Take a 1 year hiatus and come back in full force next year.
Yeah, all the better. So, commission meeting was kind of an average meeting last night in length, not too short, not too long. So we got a few things we want to talk about. One of the things, there's a public hearing for property out in an area that we've been talking about in the past few times we've been together. It's called Evergreen Heights.
Evergreen Heights. Most folks will recognize that as the former Dykeshore and Greenhouse property, and property to the south and to the west of that individual parcel. So last night there was a zoning change, and a lot of residents showed up, which is good, because City Commission obviously likes to hear from residents in the area that is affected by zone changes.
Well, I think last night was a great example of the commission listening to the residents that showed up and voiced their concerns.
Yep.
And they found a compromise that everybody could live with.
Right. And we knew this would, when there's a 5-4 vote at planning and zoning to move something up to City Commission, you know, it's not a slam dunk issue.
Sure.
And there is both sides
there's
that you need to weigh.
There's room for negotiation.
Room
here
to wiggle a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And it really kind of took some, the discussion was interesting, and then it took some different turns. There was a motion put forward that was tied. What was that motion originally?
Yep. There were only four commissioners in attendance last night. Commissioner Larson was out of town and unavailable, and nine times out of ten, the commissioner will call in for the meeting.
Sure.
This time, like I said, she was just not have access to telephone, could not make it. And so we had a motion by a commissioner that would have adopted the planning and zoning recommendation. It received a second, and at the end of the day, it was a tie, 2-2 vote. So the motion, in essence, dies. And the commission was looking for a way, you know, do we reconsider the request here? Or how do we move this project forward? And I think looking and hearing some of the testimony last night from residents and looking in the audience, you could tell everyone didn't want to come back for another meeting. and that was evident. And like I said,
Understandable.
Yep. And there was a compromise, I think, that was worked out. As like I said, you can look out on the faces of the audience and tell no one wants to come back again. All right, are you willing to give a little bit here and give a little bit here? And like I said, at the end of the day, the area that is, I think, just east of 14th and south of 19th Street became, the suggestion was that the area just to the east of where the single family houses was.
We have an aerial map, and maybe Lloyd, you could pop that up for us and it'll kind of help walk us through. So when you talk about 19th Street, we're talking about here.
That would be 16th
Street.
That's
16th,
19th
sorry.
Street is south.
Down here.
It's the major east-west
route
in there.
And this is Highway 1804.
1802. six. and 16th Street would, in essence, run just to the south of the former greenhouse. The Dykstra greenhouse was there
right
for many years.
Okay.
Has now been removed, and 16th Street would make a connection to 1806. Now, the houses on 14th are just to the west, and they're kind of like the last row of houses that you will see as you go west on 19th. Mm-hmm. And there's, just green space below them. Now, one of the issues last night was the suggestion and motion from planning and zoning is the area just to the east of the single-family houses would be kind of an R3.2, or you'd have the ability to put twin homes or duplexes on that property. The resident showed up, said we would really rather see it R7 or single-family homes. At the end of the day, the compromise was there will be some, the commission said, okay, we'll do R7 in that area just to the east of where the single-family homes are.
Right in here.
And the area, if you're moving to the north, kind of where the old, like I said, where the old greenhouse used to be, and that parcel mm-hmm. would be zoned for some shop condos.
Right. And that was a bit of the driving conversation,
yep.
too, was the shop condos that are proposed in this particular area.
And I'll say shop condos with many restrictions. So
right.
we don't want any
And a
heavy,
pretty low number. I think it's
yep,
like four
I think there
units.
Four of them,
right.
four units in there. And you can't be cutting wood or sawing wood on the outside of these. There's going to have to be, you could put, potentially a law firm. You could put some other types of shop uses, but very limited use. Mm-hmm. To be considerate of the neighbors, which are single-family homes to the west
right.
and also to the north. And
yeah.
like I said, compromise was worked out. And again, this is what government does. They listen to both sides.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, there has to be a decision made.
Right.
And the decision last night, after kind of a reconsideration, was to, all right, what if we change the motion and we allow the R7 to the east of the single-family homes, allow the shop condos to go to the north.
Right in here,
and,
shop condos,
yep.
and then single-family now approved in
right.
here.
And not we're not saying the single families are going to go in tomorrow. That's a matter of the property is now zoned for that.
Sure.
I don't think the property owner currently has any plans to move that development forward, but in the future it is, in essence, ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
So again, good government listens to both sides,
yeah.
makes a decision. Sometimes you're going to have people who are unhappy on both sides. But
and we've been talking about this particular area for the last couple of city currents. The commission has been involved in this 1806 stretch here for other project that a crematorium was proposed
right.
in this particular parcel here. So this has been on the
agenda
your radar for a while here.
Probably 4 or 5 months.
So something is going to happen in these properties, obviously.
Correct.
There's development coming. It's a ripe parcel for that. And there is, this map is a little bit dated.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see the new church going in right
Living
here.
Waters Church is already constructed. In the last few weeks, they have installed the water line to the church. And now they'll work on final touches and getting the parking lot paved, and that'll be ready to go. And again, it's a matter of this property is developing.
Right.
And something will go there.
Interesting.
And
yeah.
the only way you can control it from not developing would be to buy the property yourself.
Well, and we were talking earlier about this pie-shaped piece mm-hmm. of property that's adjacent to all of this. And it looks like it would be another prime development site, but you said there's concerns.
There may
right
be
now.
Concerns
there may be.
From an archaeological standpoint, but again, that'll be up to the property owner to determine what is there
out.
And what's not. But again, it's a be a nice location for maybe a C-store or a local neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of residential popping up out here, no doubt. So
correct.
To serve that area.
Yep, very busy 1806 and 19th. Like you said, that is one of the links to downtown Mandan, and away you go. So there's been a lot of homes that have been built out in this area.
Veterans
right.
Cemetery, Huff Hills.
Yep, a lot of things
yeah,
south of town
casino,
that people are interested in.
Everybody's using this road, so there's a lot of traffic out there, a lot more activity. So
last night
was good.
And again, they went to the
good
first
discussion.
Consideration of that,
mm-hmm.
and it'll come back on the June 4th agenda for the second consideration, and then if nothing changes, that'll move forward.
All right.
And maybe we won't have to talk about it again.
At least for a couple of weeks, probably.
You never know.
Also, a public hearing last night. First consideration was a wireless telecommunications in the public right away. This is a project that Bismarck has actually implemented a few months ago, an ordinance,
correct,
I should say, and Mandan's been working on the document for a while already.
Yeah, this is was brought to our attention by Verizon, looking for, I guess the easiest way to say it is putting cell towers, or not a cell tower, but putting your transmitters on streetlight poles. And we find that, you know, you just can't hang all of that equipment on a streetlight pole because of the wind loads and the loads on the existing poles. Mm-hmm. So in essence, what the commission did last night was approve the first consideration. If you are looking at what these look like, if you drive up in the BSC area, I think there are seven.
On the campus.
On the campus. And they will, you know, they're getting ready for 5G. And being able to transmit that.
Yeah.
Along with that, we want to make sure that, you know, something happens to one of these towers. It is the cell provider that is responsible for putting that streetlight and hanging that equipment back on.
So your public works department will backstock, so to speak,
of
these.
And we'll put a few poles in the inventory. But again, those are paid for by the cell provider. If, you know, someone runs off the road, knocks one over, it's up to the cell provider to contract out and have that streetlight pole and all of the things that go along with it up within a certain amount of time.
And do we understand also that the cell provider will be paying a rental fee to use this public right away?
Right. Within our ordinance, it would be, I think, $270 per year per pole. And again, that is to accommodate, you know, it is in the public right of way. And we want to make sure that if they're servicing, you know, we won't be touching that equipment. That'll be up to the provider, but we still have a streetlight to maintain on that pole.
Ultimately, I would assume that some of these new, this new smaller version of a cell transmitter would reduce the need for these large cell towers in a city, within the city limits.
Yeah, they're really intended to go in high traffic areas, so you will find them probably near the high schools and other major areas where you have a lot of people and they're all using a lot of data nowadays, and just the normal cell tower isn't able to handle it. So these are kind of a stopgap to provide the service that people want.
Okay.
And if you have big crowds like we do in downtown, over whether it's touch a truck, buggies and blues, rodeo days, art in the park, things like that, that adequate service is provided.
Okay.
So.
Step one. It'll come back in a couple weeks to the commission for final consideration.
Yep. Okay. Final consideration, probably June 4th meeting. Along with the ordinance, it sets up for a master agreement with the cell provider.
Okay.
And that we will have to come to an agreement with that. So there's another document that will be a negotiation with the provider and the city on how all the fine details are worked out.
Does this this ordinance then would apply to all providers, all cell providers?
Yep.
Verizon is driving it.
Yeah, Verizon is the first one who brought it up, but for all the other providers would have to follow the same ordinance. We, in turn, if there are other providers that wanted to do these types of things, we would have a master agreement with each one of them.
Okay, understood.
Yep.
19th Street Trail is something that we've talked about for quite a while, probably a year or so.
Correct.
About the need and then the design work that's gone into it, the funding sources. And last night, the commission awarded the bid to start phase one.
Yep. Kind of start out with a school safety zone study, you know, how are kids getting to and from school. We know in the Fort Lincoln school area, we've got some, there's a rural section of road going to the west. And in turn, our application, along with the Mandan Park District, was to let's get leg one of a multi-use trail. We've got a lot of people that are walking along that rural section and biking and things like that. Application was approved for some grant funding. Obviously, we'll not pay for all of it, but a goodly portion of that. And the city, the Parks and Rec and the school district will be splitting the local share a third. So again, another good cooperative arrangement with all three entities.
As I understand, then it was kind of driven by the kids walking to the to the grade school up in that area. So that provided the impetus for the project.
Right.
And again, this is phase one. They expect to start this
phase
summer.
Phase one, the intention is to have this phase complete before, I think, August 16th or when school starts. So contract was awarded to Weiss & Sons. Along with the multi-use trail will come a pedestrian crossing signal that will assist with those folks trying to get from, I think, Ridge Drive on the north part of 19th to, you know, get them across 19th Street and get them to school safely. So for moms and dads and whoever else is walking the kids to school, if you're doing that, again, this will be provide a much safer way to get to school and get home.
Yeah.
Or just, like I said, we've got a lot of people who are walking and running out along 19th Street. And like I said, phase two will move from this project area to the west to Highway 6.
Sounds like the estimated time of completion would be right before school starts.
Correct.
That's the intention anyway. Yep. Always weather dependent and any other issues that come up.
And if you're looking at the aerial, this project area, you will see the cul-de-sacs that are built on Macedonia Avenue. That is pretty well filled up with homes right now. So there are a lot of kids that are...
Our maps are always a little bit
moving
behind,
back and forth. Yep. Wish we had a drone shot for you that would show exactly here's what we have. But
absolutely,
we do the best we can.
Yeah, I think we have a picture, too, of the crossing.
Right.
It'll be pretty similar to this, maybe not exactly.
Push button actuated so that if you're on one side, then, you know, the intention is that there'll be the flashing beacons and things like that to, again, provide a safe crossing for pedestrians in the area.
That'd be nice.
Yep. Yeah. A good thing.
Great. A little security there. Under new business last night, the police department came forward with their new 411 tip line, which is an app that citizens can download very easily on their phones and use it to supply tips to the Mad End Police Department.
I think I downloaded it last night, and I know I had a couple of commissioners that were
doing it while
Chief Ziegler and Pat Haug were telling us about it. They were downloading and said, hey, we just did it in
pretty easy
2 minutes while you're telling us about it. So,
and this tip line, replaces Crime Stoppers. What used to be Crime Stoppers, where you'd call in your tips for various issues that may be going on with the police department. So that's an old system. This is much easier.
Yep, new system, and also a couple things too. You can sign up to get alerts from the system, and you can also want to make sure that your tips are anonymous. So lack of a technical term to describe this, but when your text a tip comes in, it is scrubbed of all the personal information before we get it. And so that's, if you want us to contact you back, you probably need to enter that into your tip. But other than that, you can just text us something and it'll go into the PD and they'll follow up on it. And again, all of it is an anonymous tip line. So, like I said, all your personal information is not making it to the PD.
I think Chief Ziegler was talking about how they've already used the tip line before it became public, but they've used it in conjunction with Bismarck's 411 tip or app.
In April, it was being used heavily, like again, in Bismarck and Manon really do cooperate very much.
Especially,
and people, I don't think, realize
that
how much cooperation there is between the two cities. And during the incidents in April, that was one of the things that people were texting in tips to the 411 line. So a very good thing and very easy to use. And we encourage everyone to download that app.
Yeah. I think we have a graphic that we can put up too. Again, doesn't matter if you have an iPhone or an Android phone, you can get on this thing and it's a free download. It's a good thing to have just for your own public safety, for kids, whatever, to keep track of what's going on. And it's real easy to use. There's another graphic we can pop up that says, how do you use it? And there's some tips on there on how to get it downloaded and whatnot. But if you still don't get it, just contact them, mandampd.com, and you can.
Yep.
It'll have all the instructions.
They will help
right
you
there.
Through. Again,
Their
number is 667-3250 if you call someone at the PD, they'd be able to help you through that process. But like I said, we had a couple of commissioners download the app last night during the presentation. And if I can do it, it's pretty easy to do.
No more Crime Stoppers.
Right.
It's the 411 tip line. So that's all ready to go. Under new business, which is an old business, actually, that we've talked about before, is a new liquor license that was granted last night.
Right. For a new restaurant on 10... Pardon me, a new restaurant called the Old Ten
Bar and Grill.
They applied for their liquor license to be effective in June. We know that we've seen construction going on all winter long, and
it's right on Main. It's
right
easy
on Main. They drive by every day, so
on,
we're looking forward to them being open. And again, liquor license was approved, no issues. So it's a Class E restaurant license, and like I said, we look forward
in
to them
June?
Opening in June.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
So
yeah, it's nice.
Keep
to see
your eye
it.
Out, and I know they're very active on Facebook and things like that. So
well, it's good to see a renovation of an existing property right there in the core of the
Dakota Four Seasons Heating and Cooling was there, so they have my drive-bys have been watching them gut. I think the entire building keeps some of the shell, and they're right now working on the exterior and interior, and a lot of activity going on. So we were looking forward to having them open.
Yeah.
Yep.
Another great restaurant in downtown Mandan.
Yep.
Also under new business was a building permit appeal of a denial of a building permit.
Sounds confusing, and it is a little bit.
It does. And, you know, it's not a big deal. Everything went... The denial was successfully appealed.
Correct.
So not a lot to talk about, but we just wanted to bring it up because to demonstrate that there is a process here. Your building inspector followed the ordinance and denied the building permit.
Right, which is what Sean Rodnick, our building official, was required to do.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone came in and we realized that the area that this individual wants to build a house in, we don't have... curb and gutter and street services out there at this point in time, wanted to build a house, and Sean worked with the owner and said, okay, here's what we have to do. We need to come in and deny this because by law, that's what we need to do. But you appeal to the city commission. Our recommendation would be that the commission support your appeal. And that's exactly what happened last night. So that, you know, while sometimes it looks like, oh, big bad government is denying someone a building permit, really, this is a step we needed to do in order to get to the appeal phase and, in essence, work with the property owner so that, you know, they can, in essence, build a house they want to build.
It's a process. I mean, there are laws, there are ordinances in place, and your building official followed that
and
by denying the building permit. But there are always exceptions.
Right. And the property owner knew that's what we were doing, and we made sure, look, we are going to work with you to accomplish the end goal. These are just the steps we need to do to get there.
So you build the documentation of the reasons why it should be allowed, and it came forward, and then the commission, I think it was unanimous, said,
unanimous,
yes,
so
go ahead.
Very good.
Makes sense. So, Del Wetch, executive director at the Mandan Progress Organization, was on the agenda last night, annual granting, re-granting that they do through their MTO, and that came forward last night. We've talked about this in years past.
Yep, and it's that time of year. We always like to have Dale come in and where he'll talk about the events that are going on in town, and the city provides $20,000 in kind of advertising money and help for entities, organizations that are looking at doing an event. I believe the Mandan Progress Organization had 15 applicants, and I think all were funded to some level. There is a committee with the MPO. Again, it's not the Metropolitan Planning Organization. It would be the Mandan Progress Organization.
MPO.
Right. So that funding subcommittee goes through, and they rank and score all of the applicants, and then the dollar amount is determined from there. And, you know, the good thing about this is that half of the money that is made available to these organizations is in Mandan bucks and the other half in cash so that they can help their events get off the ground.
That
and a lot
sense.
Of them are repeat, but there are some new events in here that always might need a little boost in getting their advertising and getting their event going. But
I think most people will recognize a lot of these events. There's the Touch a Truck, the Rodeo, Art in the Park. Those are pretty well known, obviously. What do you know what the main event would be? Do I? Not quite clear
that
on
I'm
what
not
that one is. Will you bring that back next time?
I can bring
we'll
that
talk.
One back
we'll talk about
next time
the,
and we'll visit
what the
about
main
that.
Event
so,
might be. Yeah.
You see
yeah.
Heritage Plaza, Touch a Truck Mandan Softball. Normally that's for tournaments that they try and bring into town.
Sure.
The parade, the 4th of July road race.
Yeah.
Musicians Association, and speaking of that, I think the nightly music in the park.
Oh, at the band show?
At the band show. Yeah. We'll be starting up soon.
And that's a big undertaking.
Yeah, you can either
go every night.
Every night.
It's amazing.
Monday through Thursday, I believe. Sometimes Friday, Saturday. Yeah. But if you go to the Mandan Progress Organization's website or the Musicians Association, there is a schedule out there of who's playing when throughout the summer.
We have been looking at that schedule. So our production team will probably be out there capturing some of those performances as time permits and weather permits, certainly
weather permits,
as well.
As we talk today when it's raining out.
Yeah, exactly. Last on your list last night of the agenda was resolutions and ordinances, and it was a revision of, I don't want to say forestry, but...
Arborist Katie Department. Nagel brought forward some changes she thought needed to be made. A lot of it deals with, all right, if there are in the boulevards, bushes and vegetation and things like that, we'd rather see trees and grass because sometimes the bushes get out of control. And
they hinder traffic and they can be the cause of accidents. So it's an issue of public safety, obviously.
And also a way for us to notify residents if, you know, if you have trees in your boulevard and the street sweeper is going by and the tree branches are banging against the street sweeper or the snowplow or things like that, then they need to be trimmed up. And then there's a way method for us to contact residents to, you know, inform them that, hey, you need to take care of this. If you don't, then we have a mechanism in place that would allow us to do that work and special assess that cost to the property.
So pretty much housekeeping.
Housekeeping.
Just kind of.
Yeah, the thing on the shrubs and vegetation said the city may permit, and right now we're just saying are not allowed so that we don't have to make those decisions and just say, nope, not a good idea.
And, good to do a little housekeeping on every agenda, I suppose.
Yep.
So that's it. That's what we had to cover.
All right.
Anything else you wanted to add?
I think we're good to go. And like I said, we're looking forward to Memorial Day weekend. And
it's coming up.
We know that the Veterans Cemetery will have a production going on out there in a service. And please, that is usually very heavily traveled 1806 going south of Mandan. Please be careful. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we know there's a lot of people who will be parking on the highway, walking. It's a great service out there. And like I said, please use caution when you're traveling
in that
area.
That's on Memorial Day?
On Memorial Day.
All right. Yep. Good to know. Thank you, Jim. And thanks for coming here today.
Thanks for having us.
All right. And thank you for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit cityofmandan.com. Or call 701-667-3215. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you would like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on Radio Access 102.5 FM. It's also available as a podcast on radioaccess.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.